You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
Turn with me, if you will, in your Bibles to Romans 14. I do want to share a little something with you this morning, short message. Praise God. Just something I've been meditating on and kicking around and, you know, stirring in my spirit. I just preach out of the overflow. I teach what and preach what's stirring in me, usually what I need, you know, what I recognize I need to work on. I don't know about you, but, you know, I believe I can improve. How about you? Can you improve?
Yes.
I mean, and I see things. It doesn't mean you're in great sin. It doesn't mean this is a great problem in your life or whatever, but it is something you can improve on. And I think you ought to always examine yourself and always look at yourself and see what you can do to be a better witness, to be a better father, mother, better husband, wife, whatever the case may be. Because we are here to be a light and a witness and an answer, not a problem. Maybe you are a problem right now. That's okay. God solves problems. Maybe you've got a problem. Maybe you are a problem. Maybe you are the problem. But that first step to solving problem is recognizing the problem. Maybe you found the enemy and he is you. Well, let's turn that around. Let's change what we're doing. You know, I was talking to someone the other night on the phone, and they were just talking about how they wanted to get right and so on and so forth. And I prayed with them and all, and they were going through things in their life that had gone on. Don't like this, don't like that, don't like that. I said, well, that's good. You know what's good about that? You can change that. That's what's good about that. That's bad. You've sinned. But see, this is fixable. You can fix this. You can quit sinning. You can repent. You can come to God. You've been doing the wrong things. Now let's start doing the right things. Let's come to Jesus. Let's make the adjustments. And let's start our new future. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Maybe you're not satisfied with areas in your life. I hope you're not totally 100% satisfied with everything in your life. I hope there is a discontent, a divine discontent inside of you, wanting to improve, wanting to go further with God, wanting to be used more by Him, wanting to be nicer and kinder. I hope you want to do that, because we sure hope you do. But that's the first step. That's a good thing. Don't beat yourself over the head. Don't devalue yourself. You know, I always heard about failure. Just recently I read this actually in some books, and I thought it was so good. We don't always separate failure from the person. But failure is just an event. Failure is not a person.
Right. That's good.
Just because you failed doesn't mean you're a failure. Just because you've messed up doesn't mean you're messed up. Are you with me? And you got to separate that. That's why the Bible's so filled with instructions on how to live and how to relate to each other. We are not born again in a vacuum. We're not saved in a vacuum. We're saved to serve. You know, I preached that the other night. You've got to be conscious of the world that you live in and people around you and family and church brothers and sisters and lost people that are all around us and so on and so forth. Mm-hmm. In light of that, Romans 14, found it?
Amen.
Notice what it says here in the 17th verse. We preached on this and in several different ways, talked about the joy of the Lord, talked about the kingdom of God. It says, for the kingdom of God is not meat or drink or eating and drinking, New King James says here, not eating or drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah, somebody.
Amen.
Everybody say joy.
Joy.
Well, that's part of what we are. We're peace, righteousness. You know, I've been made righteous by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't have my own righteousness, but the righteousness of God, which comes through the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. I got peace like a river.
Yeah.
That old song, I got peace like a river. I got peace like a river. Peace like a river in my soul. Oh, come on. Y'all know the song.
Yes.
Anyway, we've got peace. But also, he says, we got joy. You know, I've taught on the joy of the Lord, how the joy of the Lord is our strength. And joy is something God's very serious about. Joy is the serious business of heaven. In fact, you enter into the joy of the Lord when you get there. You don't just enter heaven. You enter to the joy of the Lord. You enter into joy. We think of heaven as being solemn, as being stoic and quiet and laid back. But no, the Bible says, well done, good and faithful servant, enter thou into the joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord is your strength.
Amen.
A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. Broken spirit dries the bones, the Bible tells us. So here he says, the kingdom of God is not meat or drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he who serves Christ in these things... serve Christ in these things, in righteousness and peace and joy. This is how we're supposed to serve Christ. We serve Him. This is the welcome to the service of the Lord. We're part of the service now. We're part of the military service. You know, people who are in the military, they're in the service. Well, you're in the army of the Lord now. You're in His service. Well, how do we serve Him? We serve Him in righteousness. We serve Him in peace. And we serve Him in joy. And we do no service to Him by being down, and depressed, in the mully grubs. That's an old term, mully grubs. I learned that from Brother Osteen, okay? So, you know, I'm just repeating what he said. I don't know what it means. It just means to be down, I guess, you know. I never knew what the grubs and the mullies and all that is, really, but it just, you know. But we don't serve, we don't do service to God by doing that. We don't do service to God by being negative. Being pessimistic and so on. We don't do service to God. No, we serve God through righteousness, peace, and joy. And for he who serves Christ in these things is acceptable to God and approved by men. Everybody say approved by men. That's kind of what I want to center in on, is how we relate to other people. Not only people that are saved, but people that are lost. How do we relate to them? Of course, our mission is real plain. We have a mission, and that is to preach the gospel to every creature. But think about this. What about those that are already saved? Now, here we are in church. Most of our fellowship's among church people. How do we relate to each other? We obviously can't just keep telling them how to be saved. They're saved. Now, we do that to the world, our neighbors. And there's plenty of people lost out there you need to witness to. We've got outreaches going on. There's one coming up with overcomers and, you know, things going on all the time. And just be a witness. You can be a witness on your job. Be a witness with your family and your relatives and your neighbors and so on. Talk about Jesus. Pray that God will open opportunities for you to share the faith with people. I'm not talking about that right now. That's important, and you need to do that. And we are for that. Are you with me? That's how people get saved, by telling them about Jesus. That's just, you know, Christianity 101. But now, as a Christian amongst Christians, people we hang around with, you know, we ought to be approved by men. They're not seeking their approval. But if we will serve Christ and we'll serve God in righteousness, that's living right, okay, and in peace, that's having some peace about us, and having some joy about us, then that'll bring approval to men. And he says in the 19th verse, therefore, let us pursue the things which make for peace and the things by which one may edify one another. These things edify others. Joy will edify another. Peace will edify another. Righteousness will edify someone else. It doesn't just bless you, it'll bless somebody else. And these are things that we ought to be pursuing or following. You know, in life you have all kinds of ways you can go. In any conversation, you know, in any conversation, when we're talking to someone or about someone, there's always things that come up that we could talk about. Some things wouldn't be considered pursuing peace and building up people. Some things would actually promote strife and tear down people. But the Bible tells us to pursue the things that make for peace, whereby we may edify one another. The word edify is just a Greek word, okidoma, which it also means building. In fact, it's translated building several times in the New Testament, like a dome on a house. Okidoma, that's to build up, is to build up a house. We are God's building, the Bible says. That same word, translated edify here. And when Jesus talked about the temple, you see this building, that's the same word also. So when he says here, we may edify one another, he's saying we may build up one another. We ought to pursue things that are going to build up. I have no right to tear down my brother. I have no right to destroy him or her in their dream and their passion. Maybe they're wrong in their head. But if their heart's right, I ought to help them. I ought to encourage them. Everybody say encourage. Encourage is to put courage in someone. Encourage. In other words, so they don't give up. So they don't stop. So they don't quit. But you want to encourage them. Put courage in them to stay the course. Encourage them to continue what's right and just and holy. A lot of people want to give up and quit because nobody is encouraging them. No one is standing behind them, helping them, building them up. I don't know what kind of home life you had. I hope it was a good one. But if you didn't have a good one, I'm here to tell you, God loves you. He's for you. He's not against you. We love you. We're for you. You count. You're somebody. Amen? You've got great value. And we as Christians, our job is to go build up people. Of course, to minister Jesus. I'm talking about after the fact. People are saved now, they accepted Jesus. What do we do with one another? We should be helping each other be the best we can be. We should help each other fulfill the calling on our lives. If you'll spend your time helping others fulfill their calling, you will fulfill your calling. You will. If you'll spend your time helping others get what they want or need in life, you'll have everything you need in life. That's just a principle. That's a law. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give unto your bosom. For with what measure you meet, the way you give, it shall be measured back to you again. And listen, he is talking about judgment and mercy. In Luke, the 6th chapter, of course, it includes finances. We quote that concerning giving, and that's true because that's a spiritual law, would apply to anything you give. But in the context, he's really talking about being merciful to people. And what kind of judgment do we bring on people? You know, maybe somebody is messed up. Maybe they've done the wrong thing. Maybe you've messed up. Maybe you've done the wrong thing. Are you with me? It doesn't mean we don't correct. It doesn't mean we don't even rebuke in that sense. But we don't tear down. We don't belittle. You know, if you want to be big, don't belittle. Oh, yeah, that's it. Think about that one. Yeah, if you belittle, you belittle. If you want to be big, then don't belittle. You ought to go around and be big people. Yeah, I just made a new word. Yeah, we do it all the time around here. Just go be big somebody. What are you doing? I'm be-bigging. I'm just making other people big. I mean, think about it. You know, we're so involved or so concerned about being impressed or, you know, being impressive instead of being impressed. We're more interested in what people think about us than we are really what we think about them. Yeah. You ever notice that? I mean, really. You know, we walk away and we feel like, well, they probably think I'm a great person now. But really, you know what? If you're a great person, then people ought to feel like they're great when they leave your presence. Because it's about making them feel good. It's about making them realize they can make it. It's about making them feel that God loves them, that He's for them, that they count, that they're important. Because we're all important. You ought to come to church and walk out here feeling like $1 million. Feeling like you can do whatever God told you can do. Amen? You shouldn't walk out here and talk about what a great preacher I am. But, well, no, take it back. You should walk out of here and you should talk about how great I am. That is, yes, you should. Don't tear me. Don't have roast preacher for lunch. But what I mean is you should walk out of here with a charge. Man, I mean, with a spring in your step. You know, I've heard from God. I tell you what, I can make. I can do this. I can be this man. I can be this woman. I can be this father. I can be this mother. I can serve God. I can make a difference. I am making a difference. Because greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. And I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And I am a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things are passed away. All things become new. See, when you're getting it, you ought to be encouraged. Hallelujah. And you ought to be in a position to encourage others. To lift others. Amen. That's what we're all about here. We ought to seek the things. Notice what he says here. Let us pursue. Go after these. And you have to pursue them because they'll get away from you. It's amazing how quick in a conversation the things that build up others will get away from you. Now you have to think about that in a while. You can start out real good and all of a sudden the building up stuff, the encouraging stuff, the praising stuff, the lifting stuff, it'll get away from you in a conversation and you'll get back to tearing down and criticizing, pointing out, finding fault. No, you've got to stay on the hunt here, okay? You've got to pursue the things that build up, that edify. Edify, think about the word edify. That actually is like an edifice. That's a building, an edifice. That comes from edify. And, of course, edify comes from okodomo, building up, to build up one. That'd be like to encourage one. That's what we're supposed to do. Doesn't mean we don't correct. I correct all the time. I have to. I'm a pastor. I'm always correcting and sometimes even rebuking if that's the case. But I don't tear down the person. And don't you tear down a person when you correct them. That's right. There's many times I'll talk to guys and say, I'll tell them, I say, listen, you're better than this. Yeah. Are you with me? I've told my kids that. You're better than this. Yeah. I don't tell them they're no good and worthless and sorry. I say, you are better than this. You can do better than this. Hello? I've got a ringing in my... And I know my sound men are better than this. They can make this happen. See there? It's gone. But even when you correct someone, you don't tear down a person. You don't do it with that. You encourage them the things that are good, the things that are right, and correct them the things that are wrong. But it's not about, don't be so personal in our correction and personal in our tearing down. None of us are perfect. You've made mistakes and I have too. Are you with me? Hallelujah. It's real quiet in this Pentecostal church, Presbyterian church. Therefore, let us pursue the things which make for peace and the things by which one may edify another. This is going to take discipline. I tell you, I will say this without any doubt. It takes discipline. You really don't have a right to tear anyone down or belittle someone or to criticize someone. You don't have a right to do that. You may do it, and I may do it, but we don't have a right to do that. Those that row the boat don't have time to rock it. You ever notice that? Everybody's got a better way to do whatever you're doing. But the fact is, some people are doing something. Some people just not doing anything. And I'm not addressing any particular subject here. Goodness gracious, we had a great week, great hallelujah night. I can't think of any problems in the church, so don't think I'm trying to point out anything. I don't even know what, for something going on, I'm not aware of it. And really, don't tell me I don't want to hear it. Pray about it, amen? But discipline is what's going to make this happen. You got to stop. You got to examine yourself. You ever stop at the end of the day and think about the conversations you had that day? You ever think about the interaction you had with people that day? Have you ever thought about things you wished you should have said and things you wished you had not said? You ever done that? Well, you really ought to do that every day. You ought to examine yourself, whether you be in the faith, the Bible says. And concerning conversation with people, interactions with people, you ought to think, well, you know what? I said that. I didn't say that right. Or I shouldn't have said that. I'm going to work on that. Father, forgive me. Help me. I'm going to do better next time. Hello? Oh, God, I noticed when we started talking about that person, I started getting off and criticizing. Oh, man, it seemed like every time that person's name comes up, here I go again. You know, that really just shows you need to pray about it. That shows you're not over something.
Yeah.
Hello? I mean, if you're still bitter, then you can't talk nice about somebody. And what you have to do, you need to address that bitterness and get rid of it.
Mm-hmm.
Hello?
Amen.
And that takes effort. That takes discipline. You have to pray at the end of the day. You know, look at what you've done that day. Examine it. And ask yourself, have you encouraged anyone today? Have you built up anyone today? Have you criticized today? Well, this is serious business. This is what the Bible tells us to do. We are to pursue these things. Sometimes we just need to be quiet. You know, great men monopolize the silence. Little men monopolize the talking. It's easy, you know, when you're talking, I have this problem, you know. I don't need an amen on this. I have this problem that, you know, I'm trying to really listen to what they're saying, but I'm trying to think of what I'm going to say. Am I supposed to respond to it? Am I supposed to say something? So I'm thinking about what I'm going to say while they're talking. And I mean it's innocent in the sense that I really want to help them, but sometimes I'm thinking more about what I'm going to say than what they're saying. You know what I'm saying? Okay. And some people just talk slower than others, and some people think about what they say instead of saying everything they think. And you get those two people together. One that's always thinking about what he's going to say. One that's always says everything he thinks. And it's just kind of monopoly on the talking. I mean, you know, because you want them to finish the sentence and you want to finish it for them, you know. Hello. Have you been there? Okay. All right. Well, those are little things to work on, you know. But you want to build up someone. You want to encourage someone. And sometimes that's just listening. Let them finish out what they're going to say. Amen. You know, I read this other day. I thought this is good. It was a John Maxwell book on becoming a person of influence. In fact, Dr. Bird just read this the other day, too. A good, excellent book. But he mentioned there, I thought this was real good. In that book, he mentioned five things everyone ought to understand about people. And one, he said, everyone wants to be somebody. Oh, come on now. Don't you want to be somebody? You want to be better. You want to do something. You want to make a difference. Everybody wants that. Number one, everyone wants to be somebody. Number two, no one cares how much you know till they know how much you care. And we've all heard that. But people do really want to know that you care.
Amen.
Sure, they want help. They want answers. But you know what? They want someone that cares.
Yeah.
You know, if you don't care, then they're not going to listen to you. That's why criticism doesn't work. That's why belittling doesn't work. Even flattering does not. We're not talking about just flattering. We're talking about encouragement. We're talking about edification. That's a little different. Well, number three says here, everybody needs somebody. In other words, everybody needs friendship and encouragement and help. We all need somebody. Every one of us. We ought to be that somebody. I want to be that somebody. I don't want to cut people off. You know, because they're different from me. Or they're not at my level, whether that be social, intellectual, or gifted, or whatever the case may be. I mean, come on. We're all at different levels there. But that we're not at different levels of importance. We're all important. And we all count. Just because you may be smarter than somebody doesn't mean you're more important than somebody. Hello. Just because you're more gifted in one area. Listen, if you go down the list, there's a lot of things you can't do. I think a lot of things I can't do. In one sense, everyone is superior to me. In another sense, I may be superior to them, but none of us know everything and have everything. I mean, I see certain people that are just real developed in one area or another. I envy that. I think, man, I wish I could be more like that. They're not perfect, but there's something about them that I'm lacking. And you know what? That's a good role model for me. I like that. That's why I want to get around people. We're better. I say this often at funerals, and it's the truth. There's never been a person that we've had a funeral for. Never have I ever preached a funeral. Never passed by someone in that casket, you know, that really, if I've known them, there's not a one of them that hasn't made me a better man. Nobody has just been neutral in this. Somehow, some way, everybody's affected me. And you too. You think about it. You're a better person because of the people around you. Maybe there's a lot you don't like about them, but you know what? It's challenged you, made you pray. Amen? If it's done that at least, and that's made a better person out of you for sure. Just praying and lift them up. So everybody needs somebody. Everybody needs friendship and encouragement and help. Number four, everybody can be somebody when somebody understands and believes in them. The reason some people never make it in life is because nobody encourages them. No one will hold them up. No one will pray for them. No one tries to help them. Everybody just continues to make fun of them, continues to belittle them, to discourage them. Everybody continues to destroy them. And you do not have the right as a Christian to destroy anybody. Everybody is precious in God's sight. I don't care who they are. I don't care what they've been through. Maybe they will not get a hold. Maybe they will never get a hold of it. But you ought to be that person that tries to help them and pray for them and be an encouragement to them. Hello. I've met a lot of people just still for years, never, still hadn't got it, you know, but I'm still working on it. And I know people are working with me. I thank God for that. Hello. That's four. Is that four things? Yeah. Four things everybody can be somebody when somebody understands and believes in him. And this book was about becoming a person of influence. And his fifth point was anybody who helps somebody influences a lot of bodies. You can't help one person without being an influence to a lot of people. Because whatever that... See, somebody witnessed to me one day years ago, over 30 years ago, on a construction job, up John Chemical in Deer Park, Texas. I was a spray painter's helper and wild as wild could be. Lost as a goose in a snowstorm. And this foreman that I worked for, he was my foreman, and he was from the country. He was a very simple guy. Went to a little bitty church, probably 10, 15 people, in Rye, Texas, which is the big thicket area. If you know anything about Rye, Texas, there's nothing there but woods and swamps. That's all there is around there. It's the big thicket area. There's nothing. Rye is just a spot. It's not even big as Elmo. Hello. Can anything good come out of Rye? Well, I guess so. J.D. Love was his name. I hadn't seen him since then, over 30 years. I don't even know where he is. I don't know how to get a hold of him. He witnessed to me and witnessed to me and witnessed to me. And I made fun of him and made fun of him and cussed him, cussed God in front of him. He could have fired me because he's my foreman. But you know what? He kept praying for me. He kept witnessing. Got his church to pray. Put my name in a prayer jar at his church. And I told him, I said, what in the world did you do? What are you? You did what? He said, I put your name in a prayer jar. Why? They're praying that you get saved. I said, you get that name out of that jar. You take my. I started getting worried by then because God started working on me, you know, and he'd been witnessing to me all this. By this time, I thought my days were numbered, you know, this guy. But you know what? He didn't give up on me. And as a result, not just him, of course, Jesus, you know, I got saved. Got saved because of that. And you know what? I left that job right after that. Hadn't seen that guy in over 30-something years. But you know, that one person, I think of this, that one person, J.D. Love, Big Thicket, Rye, Texas, affected all of you. He has influenced every one of you. If you've ever been in this church, you've ever been in a service, and you've ever heard me minister, and it's ever touched your heart, J.D. Love, that's the man you want to thank. Jesus, of course. But somebody cared enough about me when I didn't care about them. And kept witnessing, kept praying for me. And I'm saved today. I mean, maybe God would use someone else, you know, but he used him. Now, that's powerful when you think about it. One person, one life. And you never know where you're going to go with it. You never know. Well, real quickly, turn to... 2 Corinthians 10. I'll wrap this up. Just helping you. See, don't ever think that your witness doesn't count. It does. Every little thing you do counts. Every encouraging you do counts. You encourage people to go on, to go for the dream, go for what's in their heart, to fulfill the will of God in their life. They can do it. They can make it. You know, we say that all the time around here. You can do it. You can make it because it's the truth. Paul's speaking here in 2 Corinthians 10, verse 8, he says, "For even if I should boast somewhat more about our authority, which the Lord gave us for edification and not for destruction, I shall not be ashamed." I just want to center on that verse. But think about what he says. God gave him authority to build up people, but he did not give him authority to destroy people. No preacher has a right to stand up and destroy people. And you know, no Christian has a right to do that. You have a right to build up people, but you don't have a right to destroy people. In fact, you have authority from heaven. You are authorized by God to go out and build up people. But if you're going to destroy them, you're going to step out from the bounds of your authority. You're not. God didn't tell you to do that. Hello. Now, I'm not talking about correction. I'll address that. I'm not talking about rebuke. Those times do come. But you don't destroy the person when that happens. Now, in light of that, look at the... 13th chapter. He says the very same thing here, and I'll close this out. We're coming to a close here. 13th chapter, 10th verse. "Therefore I write these things, being absent, lest being present I should use sharpness according to the authority which the Lord has given me for edification and not for destruction." Not for destruction. Now if you want to go destroy someone, I can tell you who does have the authority to do that. John 10:10, Jesus said, "The thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. I've come that you might have life, that you might have it more abundantly." Think about it. So destruction is not from God. That's not to destroy. That's the wrong spirit. That's not the spirit you and I have. Sure, we stand for some things. That means we're against some things. No question. But we are for people. And you think about it. Think about it this way. Do people in our community or people you know about you, as far as this church is concerned or you're concerned, do they know what you're against or do they know what you're for? I think a lot of churches, well, I can tell you what they're against because I hear it all the time. But you don't really know what they're for. Hello. People should know what we're for. Sure, we're against certain things. But do they know what we're for? We're for people. Woo, hallelujah. Paul had authority to lift up, not tear down. So what is our purpose? I mean, what is our mission when you think about it? I know the great commission is to go out and preach the gospel. I understand that, and that's important. And goodness, we'll talk about that and have talked about that, and we ought to be a witness. But beyond that, of course, we live a lot of our life, it's not even dealing with lost people. A lot of our lives are with each other, families and husbands and wives and children and parents and brothers and sisters in the Lord. So our purpose and our mission in this sense is to build each other up. I am here to build you up, not tear you down. Amen? And I'm here when it's all over and all said and done, especially when the sermon's over, to make you feel like you can do it, that you count, that you're somebody, that God loves you, and you have great value to God. You should never walk out of a service feeling devalued or walk out of a service feeling worthless. Now, you may be convicted, and that's good. Amen. You may realize you need to repent. That's a wonderful thing. That's a good thing. But you ought to walk out knowing you can do it, and you can make it, and you can do better. Yes. And if you're doing something wrong, let me tell you something. You're better than that. You're a Christian. You're a believer. You can rise above it. And don't you let the devil lie to you and tell you you can't. Because you can. Amen? And we can do this. Listen, we can take this city. We can take this community. We can take this state and this country. We can do it. We can do it. We are the ones that are going to do it. We're the Christians. We're the believers. Amen? And we just got to build each other up. We're going to do it by building one at a time. Building each other one at a time. So encourage somebody. Encourage your children. Even if you correct them, encourage them. Don't belittle or demean them. Don't destroy them. Build them up.